afterwards is Welsh. But if you look at the photographs of people and you go back through the birth certificates, there's something like Sarah and David Solomon. And you think, yeah, at last I know where I'm from. It could be a load of made up. And then my friend was saying, well, the Welsh people did take on biblical names.
Oh.
Just because they look like they're from the Middle East doesn't mean that they are.
Not necessarily.
it is sepia, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting photographs to see. But then it's just a thought. It could be on a load of unmade up nonsense.
You could make up a good story in that.
Yeah, and check it out.
Okay, so anyway, let's proceed. Just as we're still here now, we may as well carry on rather than wait. I don't know how long it'll take them to sort out, but Debbie says that, Rachel's on the case.
Yes, she'll find us another room.
She's going to find us another room that's warmer and cosier and all that nonsense.
Like, is it the shades long?
There's one downstairs with lots of sofas in it.
Is it warm though? Is it warm?
The windows are all open along the corridor.
I know, we want it warm. So we'll probably up sticks and move at some point, but meanwhile, we'll just carry on. Carry on regardless. Sharon's going to bring us up to date.
Right. It's interesting what you were just saying, actually, because I wasn't sure. There's been a shift, and I know there's been a shift, but I don't know how to articulate it particularly. Last time we met, I was quite stressed, distressed, whatever. And I think it was the jet lag and you know, having left the family and everything. And I sort of spent a month sort of trying to sort of get my head around it a little bit. And then I got to a point where I actually did nothing. I've done nothing for about a month. And at first I was getting frustrated with myself because I was doing nothing. And then the little voice started saying, I could hear this little voice going, do nothing, do nothing. And now there has been a real shift and it all seems a little surreal because I don't know what. You know, there is a clarity. There is a clarity that I just think, well, what's everybody making fuss about? I'm starting to think. I don't get where I was before now.
Isn't that neat?
And I can't articulate as to what's actually shifted.
I know.
I just think. And there's a lot going on, you know, there's an awful lot going on in my life, and I'm just going like this for everything, you know.
Right.
It all sorts itself out.
Yeah.
and it's really quite bizarre, but, you know, it's sort of.
It's such a little thing, isn't it? It's so subtle. It's so subtle. I think a lot of insights are like that. We don't have any content around the insight. We just know that something shifted, and that's really all we can say about it. But because of that shift, how you feel about it and how you're relating to life, completely different.
Mm.
Even if nothing out there has changed, you know that something in here has.
Mm.
So your experience of what is out there is already different.
Yeah, and you know, sort of let go of homeopathy a little bit. I had one client this week, and then, you know, ordinarily I'd go, it's just completely bizarre because, you know, like the money thing we were talking about before, there's no money coming in, but who cares?
It'll come in another
it'll
time.
Sort itself out. Yeah,
which it will.
Something will sort itself out. And, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit, well, no, I'm not, because then I go, no, don't, you're going backwards. So I just go, yeah, look, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's tempting though, isn't it, to get. To get busy with adding some thought to that,
yeah.
What you should be doing and how you should be worried. And
yeah, but then this little voice keeps saying, do nothing. So for obviously for a time I have to listen and just do nothing.
Yeah.
And then I'll know what to do.
Exactly, that's the truth. Yeah, you will.
It doesn't last too much longer.
this is a direct quote from Sydney Banks. He said, point yourself in the right direction, and do nothing.
All right.
literally, I'm quoting word for word. It's one of my favourite quotes by him. Point yourself in the right direction, which you've done, and do nothing.
Mm. Yeah, getting a few strange comments from people around me. Like, are you alright?
Isn't that interesting? Are you alright? Because you don't look as anxious as you normally do. Isn't that funny? People notice that and they think that there's something wrong with you because you're not getting upset or you're not getting stressed. It's like, are you alright?
I know people get frustrated with me because I have a tendency to be quite laid back anyway, but I think it's gone to the extreme now. I don't like upsetting people. My daughter's sort of getting a bit sort of like, Mum, you know, did you hear what I said?
This is great. It's fabulous. You're all seeing it. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And you see how individual it is. You know, we're all seeing a different facet of essentially the same thing, but we're each seeing, you know, we each get a glimpse of a different facet, which I can only assume is the bit we need to see at the moment. You know, none of us gets to see the whole shebang in one gulp, but we get to see a certain aspect. And it's that aspect that reorients us in that moment. And then you'll see something else further down the line.
No, it's very personal because, you know, when I say it's all rubbish, I don't mean that everybody else is thinking rubbish.
That's what I heard when you said that, wasn't it?
But what I mean is what I was thinking was all rubbish.
Uh-huh.
You know, like before, my history of all the stuff that has upset me, that was all rubbish.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was just rubbish.
And most of what we're thinking is that you could easily put in the same category. We won't be offended about that because it's true. Yeah, seeing it for what it is powerful.
Yeah. It takes a little getting used to because it just feels so bizarre. It's so different.
Well, that's where you are right now. You're in that mode of like just settling into that as a different mode, as a different way of being. As you say, it takes a little while because we're not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So it's like, oh, feels good and it's kind of nice, but it's a bit weird at the same time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, there's no going back.
No.
There's no going back. Once you're kind of bodily, physically, psychologically, emotionally, once you're internally, you do start to get the feel for how life could be and how your experience of it could be compared to how it has been at different times. It's a no-brainer, you know, when you see that you can have a choice about that. You wouldn't trade it. I certainly wouldn't.
I can wonder if that's really the only choice we have.
Yeah,
I mean, even though
pretty much,
even with all other situations, whatever the other story, the situation, the feeling like, yeah, I can choose between two things, choose where I am and I'm now. I think what I've been also wondering from the beginning is, do I really have a choice? I mean, obviously I do, but maybe the only choice I have is just whether to think about it or not, whether to go on, you know, with that or not. Maybe that's
Or whether to take that thinking seriously or not.
Yeah, and that's it, you know, which is weird. Which then makes me wonder. I mean, how much choice do you really have?
Well, but that, you see, that doesn't seem like much. It doesn't seem like much, but actually, that's life defining.
It is.
You know, when you see that. The way that we create our experience of life is via thought, 100% of the time. So if you're exercising some degree of, let's call it free will or choice over what kind of thought you're going to feed, and and what kind of thought you're going to ignore, then that's going to determine your entire life experience. And it always has, and it always has been determining your life experience. It's just that you're seeing that now. You're seeing how that is the creative act, really, that we're making every moment.
Whichever choice you take, whether it's right or wrong, it depends on how you look at it after you've made the choice.
Because
you could go, oh, why did I?
That's right.
Or else you just say, okay, I made that choice, and yeah, I made a choice, and that's it.
Yeah, it either worked out or it didn't.
It did or it didn't, you know,
yeah.
Kind of is quite good as well.
I think that's what I was alluding to earlier when I said, you know, when I say, you know, the decision is obvious, in a way, what relieves you of the burden of decision making is to see that it's kind of arbitrary.
Mm.
Ultimately, you know, I could equally have chosen B rather than A, and I know that would have been okay too. It would have just been different, a different flavour of okay.
Mm.
You know, in that sense, it doesn't matter. It's all grist for the mill. Debbie, let's check in with you. You're here too.
That was the question that I emailed you.
Is it?
What is it that makes us put energy into one thought above another? Free will. The deeper our understanding of the three principles, the more connected to our inner wisdom we are, and then more likely to put more energy into the thoughts that we help.
Right. Did everybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
What she just said. Like, it kind of answers itself in that sense. You know, when we're at, if we're in the mode of, well, should I put energy into that thought or not? That is a signal that you're not connected to your wisdom. You know, you're not connected to your knowing. Because when you just know, when you are connected, it just becomes obvious to you that that way of thinking is going to lead to misery and that way of thinking isn't. You know, it's not even anything you have to give any attention to. You will naturally lean in a certain direction. And that's the bit about this which is, like Sharon says, that's the do-nothing part. Is that when you're on, which is not really your own, let's say when the bigger intelligence, what we call mind, when the divine intelligence is what's in the driving seat rather than is like a, in the periphery, is something that you occasionally let in, but when you actually allow it to be in the driving seat, then you can safely assume that all the decisions you take are the right ones. Even if to your thinking mind at the time it doesn't always look that way, which it won't always. You know, often the things that intuitively feel right, they fly in the face of what your logical mind might be saying about it. Very often that's the case. You know, it doesn't stack up, it doesn't make sense logically. But subsequently you can see why it made perfect sense. It's just like, it's a kind of shortcut, you know, it's tapping you into a deeper level of knowing, which the thinking mind takes a while to catch up with usually. It thinks it's ahead of the game, but it's not. It's behind the game usually.
So a bit stupid, really.
Huh?
So I feel the mind is a bit stupid.
Well,
it's like a sort of.
It is relatively stupid.
You know, it's like going, mind is only acting on what's all gone before.
That's right.
So it's sort of building on. Oh, how can I go up with the same? How can I behave in the same way that I've always done?
Yeah.
Because I like it so.
Yeah.
It's.
But I'd like a different life, please.
Yeah, and then the other part.
Based on that.
goes, but we want to improve in advance, or we'd like a better.
Yeah.
You know, we'd like to be happy, for instance.
Yeah.
And the mind goes, forget that. This is the way to do it, because this is how it's always been done.
Or the mind says, I'll show you how to get that, but the way I'm going to show you is based on what you've always known.
Yeah.
Which is ludicrous.
It's a bit sort of talking about schizophrenia. Not technical term schizophrenia,
yeah.
But that's how it feels sometimes when I'm. I feel something, and I go, "Yeah, but that's just a made-up feeling." Sometimes it's not a made-up feeling; it just happens.
Mm.
Without, I
I've got two things going on in my head. I'm trying to explain them. It's not happening, is it? I'm going to stop, actually.
Wait for it to clear. That's good.
Can I just ask, because when Debbie, you said that, you know, when you have choices, and you have a choice, but when you have the thoughts, your free will is actually which thought you give attention or energy to. Yeah.
Mm.
And from what you said, that is intuitively right, because that's the choice that would feel complicated towards your inner wisdom. It feels, because you say our innate wisdom, our underlying core is a state of well-being.
Mm. Yes.
So when there's two thoughts and you give energy to the thought that gives us a good feeling, in another way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's, yeah, it's just sort of.
That's it. It's kind of obvious when you start to see it. It's like, of course, the intelligence would lean that way, because that's what's natural to us. It's unnatural to us to think a way which creates stressful feelings or generates harmful or destructive behaviours. All of that's unnatural to us. We're free to do it, but it's not natural, so it's never going to feel good.
And that's what you call intuition.
Well, intuition, I would say, is the faculty that that let's say facilitates direct access to that knowing, to that wisdom, to that deeper intelligence.
Without adding anything to the thought.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it comes. It's basically intuition is like it's the conduit where we have direct access without the intervention of. Let's call it personal thinking.
Okay.
Which is why often, when you ask a person to describe or justify why they did what they did, they say, I don't know, it just felt right. You know, it's very hard to put anything else on it.
So it actually bypasses the thinking.
That's it.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, it's direct. It's direct knowing. Hello.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
We've left messages for the duty maintenance manager, but I haven't heard back from him yet.
Okay.
But I've got a room in Ackland that's a nice size, and it's really warm. The heating is blasting out. I've just put my hands on the radiators.
Okay.
So the guys have set it now, so you can move whenever you like.
Which one is it?
Ackland 102.
Okay. Is that up on the right as we
so
go
it's
up
just,
here?
So, yeah, so it's just the building next door.
Yeah.
I just thought I didn't want to move to another tube room in case if one part of tube is going down, if another goes, then it, you know, I'm really sorry about this.
Don't worry,
I'm
going to
throttle the maintenance manager when I see him on Monday. But yeah, so you're welcome to move into 102 whenever you like, and that's available tomorrow as well.
Thank you.
And it is really nice and warm.
We'll do so. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Priority, so sorry about that.
Okay. Thanks for sorting it. Thanks. Okay. Ackland 102, was it?
There was something it's kind of to do with this.
Go on.
My mother, I was talking to my mother about a certain book that she'd been reading and I'd been reading, and it was horrific. And then we were talking about the fact that, I don't know, about this book by Rohinton Mystery called The Fine Balance, where there's this extraordinary thing, these people go through hell and back,
mm-hmm.
and yet they still have this sense of well-being in their core. And my mum said, oh, it's extraordinary buoyancy.
Mm.
And I've just been thinking when you were talking about this sea with something floating in it, that if you've got this pressure and stress on yourself, you're making the thing sink underneath.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't do what it needs to do, which
right.
is be this free thing,
yeah.
which is what happens to us in our bodies as well.
Mm.
And you get pains and because it tends,
it's funny how you can a picture can sort of take form.
No,
as well.
I think it's a really good term, the buoyancy,
because
it implies that it's natural, it's inherent.
Yeah.
And it's always leaning in one direction, no matter how much weight you put on it and everything. It's always got the same tendency to rise up again. And that's true of us. That's like the human spirit.
So, you know, that pressure we put on ourselves, just sinking ourselves.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a really nice analogy.
Yeah.
In a way, I mean, the water
and
the water.
Yeah.
Just float on your back.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. It wants to carry you along. It does, you know. It does. You can splash around if you like, but it's going to support you either way. Yeah.
You have to be relaxed if you're floating.
That's also true.
You can't be.
That's also
not
true.
Floating. Yeah. Really. Imagine heaven. Floating in the sea.
Yeah, you can't fake it, can you? You can't pretend, you know.
Warm, sun, a bit of rain.
Yeah.
Oh,
but if you're still making an effort, I know this because I'm not a very good swimmer by any means, and I have that thing of like not quite trusting water, and then every now and again trusting it, you know. It's like, okay, it's all right. Yeah, but it's interesting. This is great. I'm really glad that we took the trouble to just check in, because I can really tell just from what you're sharing and the sort of things that you're mentioning and so on, that even if there's times like we all have when you think, I don't really think I've got this yet, I don't really think I've understood it, that's not what I'm hearing. Yeah. What I'm hearing is this, that something has been seen by everybody already, and from that, that's the springboard to see more and to see deeper, and that's also the other magical part of this, is that there's no end to the depth to which you can see. Despite the simplicity of it, the depth to which you can see it is endless, and the extent to which, you know, you can deepen in your own, not only your own understanding, but the impact it will have on your own life, endless. Endless, really. So just, you know, just starting to get that initial glimpse is fantastic, but don't settle for that. Like that's the beginning of opening up this whole, wow, this whole new vista of possibilities.
I think what's becoming really clear to me, and it has been over the last 3 weeks, is that judgment is the big
judgment
issue.
Yes, yes,
and
it's
I
huge.
Think it's my limiting factor.
It's huge.
I realise that I probably measure everything by seeing where I judge myself against others or judge another person.
Yeah.
And even today I've been thinking, oh, I won't be able to do that.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't think I can, I won't be able to do it. But as soon as you said we'll do something a little bit more challenging, I won't be able to do that.
Isn't that interesting?
Position. I realise that's what has held me back more than anything.
Yeah. It's probably the only thing.
But it's also, I think it's not my judgment as much as conditioned judgment.
It was learned somewhere, yeah. It was initially, it was learned.
It
was given to
you. I feel that I judge people on a level, but I find myself intellectually judging, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it can go in obviously two directions. Some people are very outwardly judgmental of others. Some people are very inwardly judgmental, most of it's turned towards themselves.
Yeah.
But it's the same. It's the same kind of thinking. Just it doesn't matter which way you point it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It has the same effect. It's really good to see.
But it is very limiting, isn't it?
Oh my God. You've got no idea. You've got no idea. If we could just, you know, if we could take a vacuum cleaner to your brain and just get rid of all the thinking that judges, compares, criticizes, you know, diminishes, all of that. If we could just eliminate that for 24 hours.
Because if your perception, or one's perception, is always different from one else's, and the times people have said to me, well, you're really clever, it's all right for you, you're this, or it's all right for you, well, I don't think that.
You can't let it in.
All through life that happens. You know,
yeah.
My sister will say, that's all right for you, you're slim. Well,
stop eating.
I'm not.
Sorry,
yes, it is though, isn't it? It's that is always a judgment that brings it down.
Yeah.
And so then I will feel bad for doing something good because made someone else feel inferior. You know, it's dark.
Yeah, that's how it gets very convoluted, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. But it's even when I'm reading any literature, I'm finding that I'm judging it as I go along, and I hadn't realised that before.
Yeah. No, it's a great thing to see, because it's so, as you say, it's determining so much of your experience of life. And there's a difference between what I call discrimination versus judgment. And discrimination is kind of, it's neutral in that sense. You know, it's when you discriminate, essentially what you're doing is like, this is for me, this isn't, you know. And that's a faculty which is, to me, is highly valuable. Is to know what is right for you in any given moment.
Yeah, but if you can get rid of the judgment, you then can see.
That's exactly what I was leading towards. Yeah, they seem like the same thing to a lot of people, but actually they're not only the opposites, but one is dependent on t'other. Mm. In that sense, it's only when the judgment is out of the way that you can truly see what's right for you and what isn't.
And that's where I've found this sometimes quite challenging. Thinking, well, this way of doing things is a cop out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it almost sounds as if you're just, well, oh, it doesn't matter.
Just passivity is in
that,
yeah.
But that, with judgment still intact, is a cop-out.
Yes.
Isn't it?
You got it.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. And it will look that way. From
the difference with discernment and judgment is one comes from here, one comes from there, sort of thing. It's like,
yes.
One's an intuitive.
Yeah.
This is right for me, this isn't right for me. The judgment is a mental process, isn't it?
You're right, you're absolutely right. And the other difference is that the discernment is a present time. It's made in present time. So it's based in real time. Whereas the judgment is always based in historical time. It's actually got no relevance to the present moment. You're bringing something forth from the past, which has got no bearing on the present circumstance, but you're using that as a filter. So these are distinctions we're making. Yeah, we're using discrimination here to distinguish between one thing and another, but we're not judging it.
Mm.
We're just seeing. That's the difference.
It's not just acceptance. It's more, that has more energy than just accepting somehow, if you're discriminating.
Yeah.
Somehow. Because you can say, I'm not going to judge, I'm just going to accept that I have this feeling, whatever it is.
Yeah. No, it's more, it's like the active mode rather than the passive mode, shall we say. And sometimes one is needed and sometimes the other.
Mm.
You know, sometimes what brings the resolution is to let something be.
Mm.
You know, if you've been antagonistic towards some aspect of life, the moment you let it be, you get to feel better. You know, so that's the acceptance mode. That's also helpful to us. But all of these attributes, they come naturally when we're connected to ourselves. When we're connected to that deeper wisdom, then the acceptance comes, but also the discernment comes.
Mm.
When we're not judging, it comes naturally. We don't have to go looking for it. Yeah, that comes too, naturally. The listening automatically deepens when you're not in your critical thinking mode.
Mm.
Yeah. So all these things that we go after wanting to develop, they're all part of the inherent goods that we're carrying around with us. Which is great. You know, we've all got the intuition already, we've got the discernment already, we've got the decision making already. We've got all of these capacities within us, but we're not able to make use of them because we're caught in our thinking. It's not that we have to develop them. They're already fully formed. That's what we mean by innate. You know, it comes with the package. It's built in. You don't have to work on that. And in fact, if you did work on it, you'd be taking yourself away from it. Again, paradoxical. What do you think? Should we move house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Do you want to move somewhere warmer? We're all going to be complaining it's too hot. stripping off all these layers.
I'm okay with heat.
Yeah, me too. Okay, let's...